This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, and we will be joined at 8 by Boomer Esiason with his thoughts on the New England Patriots and this week in the NFL. And then Gerard Mayo will join us at about 9:20 or so this morning here. We are going to get to our leads coming up momentarily. This is Cotto, though, who's been hanging on for a while, so I want to get to Cotto. Cotto, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Not doing too well today. You know, the season is taking a toll on me. Every Sunday, I get roasted so bad. I don't even want to go outside by all my buddies. It's just.
Cotto? Do you watch the whole game? Like, are you ever hopeful? I am ever hopeful. I keep thinking something different is going to happen. It's like the definition of insanity. But go ahead. Yeah.
You want me to tell you something? Is I do watch right up until the end, and I feel like a dumbass doing it, but just something inside me tells me I have to. It's awful. It's brutal. But no, what I want to say is you know, I think that no matter what head coach you bring in here, I don't think that with this roster they're going to do well. Just seeing the line, looking at Lowe yesterday and how bad he was. It's just like no coach is going to fix that. The booty thing was terrible. But one problem that I have with Gerard Mayo is that you look at coaches like Dan Campbell. When he came into the league and the Lions sucked, no matter what the score was, he stood behind his guys. He didn't point the finger. And no matter what the situation was, you know, he pushed his guys forward to want to play for him. Yep. And looking at Gerard Mayo and hearing everything he says, it's just like week after week, it's like, yeah, I know we suck, but you're the head coach of this team. And if you want to keep coaching this team, maybe you should stand behind your guys. Maybe you should take the bullets instead of just now throwing it to other coaches, blaming other people, calling the team soft. Have you looked in the mirror, dude? Because you're soft as baby poop. You know?
Well, all right. So Cotto points out something to me, which I hadn't thought of or triggered something. If we all believe Gerard Mayo is as secure as we think, why would he be this defensive post game? So maybe he is concerned. Like, well, that doesn't stand to reason. If you think that you're safe no matter what,
right?
Yeah. You would not be reacting manner.
I mean, I think if he felt like if he had been told he was safe, he certainly would have said that last week when I asked him.
Right.
So I don't think that Robert Kraft or Jonathan has told him that his job is
hell no.
I don't think you need to say that as a fact to you or me or anybody if it's not like if you believe that you have been supported completely I don't think that you react in this way. I really don't.
I feel quite the opposite. Like, I think if you feel confident that you are going to return next year, which I believe is the case for Jerod Mayo, I think that he's looking at it and he's like, yeah, you said it, not me. Like, he wants people, he wants the fans to feel like the blame should be elsewhere. So when he's there next year, people are on his side.
Yeah, but that's like, his whole job is getting the locker room. If he's going to be here, then he's losing the locker room.
I guess if he was without his say-so, he was stuck with Alex Van Pelt, and he was stuck with, you know, Elliot Wolf in that role, and that if he's bothered by that, I guess he wants to point that out to everybody so everybody knows. Yeah.
But we know based on Jerod Mayo, and I'm Greg, I'm coming to your side of the street on this a little bit, based on the way he talks, he doesn't think that he's safe for next year. Because he has to know, he must know, like, I'm working for Robert Kraft, and, like, hey, Robert might be a great guy, but I can't trust that him and Jonathan are on the same page.
No, I mean, I assume somebody, are we going to get to Jonathan and the lip reading yesterday? Your lead?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
We won't talk about that
Mitch
now.
Mitch has the video, too.
But I don't know that they're, I certainly don't know that they're firmly in his corner that he's the guy. Like, I think
no, I mean, I think that, and this is where I said, I don't know how much of they're, like, on the same page when it comes to, like, decisions that must be made for the team. And I think that Jerod, and when, because Jerod is the type, when if you would have asked him, he would have been like, yeah, I'm coaching. I'm not concerned with next year. You know, we'll get to that, cross that bridge when we get there, about what we're going to do with this team.
The answer that he gave yesterday when asked about why no quarterback sneak was an answer that he might have said on this show previously, earlier in the season. Well, if it worked out, you guys would have said that was the way to go. That's normally the answer that he gives there. Mm-hmm. And in this case, he's like, well, you said it, not me.
You said it, I didn't.
That's wipe my hands, take a look at Alex Van Pelt. That's
even worse. Like, it is so just weak.
It's not leadership.
If you sit up there and you say, hey, we got to change the offense, it starts with me, we could have done a sneak there. If you tell the reporter and you make your point by allowing the reporter to dictate your words instead of you owning your own, it's so bad. And that's what I'm like. That's why when he talked about when they're between the white lines, I have nothing to do with it. And there was a lot of ex-players who were ripping us for ripping him.
They said they understand what that comment means.
But, yeah, I understood what that. But why not?
That falls in line with everything else he's done is removing yourself from blame.
But why not just say, hey, listen. Alex calls the offense. He calls the plays. We support whatever decision he made. We felt like that was a good call that he made. Rather, that's all you have to say, right. Even if you disagree. No,
he likes when Curtis did this a few weeks ago where he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, if you had a different roster, would the results be different? And he said, well, you said it.
Right.
I didn't say it, but you said it. That's kind of like what his thing is.
Right. I asked if his discipline would be different because he doesn't have a big bench. And he goes, I would say that's accurate.
Yes, right. All right. Anyway, a lot to get to this morning on a Patriots Monday, including this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
The rare breed artist that had as much or more success as a solo artist than the supergroup they were in?
In the
form of Phil Collins.
And
Genesis. Yes, sir. Nice choice this morning. Hello.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm
good, Greg. Gerard's in a little too deep. And I actually have a different take on this Gerard comment than I think you guys do. I feel like this was premeditated. This was a retaliatory shot directly at Alex Van Pelt for what Alex Van Pelt said on this station on Friday to Jones and Keefe, where he basically threw Gerard under the bus for the conservative nature of the play calling, where he said, I simply call the plays. Coach decides if we want to be aggressive or not. And so in my mind, this was planned. Regardless of the question, at any point in time, any opportunity he got, it felt like Gerard Mayo was going to find a way to take a shot back at Alex Van Pelt if they lost this football game.
Wow.
And that's exactly what this is. So, to me, I sense a massive rift between Mayo and Van Pelt. I think it probably started in the offseason with the Drake May Jacoby Brissett issue and has since festered to this point where they're now taking shots at each other in the media. And I like, dude, you're the head coach. You're in charge. Stop, like, this should not be a thing. You need to be better than this. You need to take control of this. And I do not feel like Gerard is handling it quite well.
Oh, I love that, Sean. Okay. I love this conspiracy. I didn't hear that.
Well, because basically Alex Van Pelt was foisted on him, and it's not his guy. It's Elliot Wolf's guy. So,
well, I didn't hear the Jones and Keefe thing where he's like, well, listen, I don't decide whether or not we're conservative or aggressive. That is very interesting. I love the pettiness. Maybe we are more like the Philadelphia Eagles where our coaches are fighting on the sideline.
Isn't it amazing that we got rid of Bill because of the silos and the dysfunction, and it's more dysfunctional than it was last year somehow?
Remember,
I told you, it goes when you don't hire your guy, and that's why Bill surrounds himself with it, whether you want to call him a bunch of yes men, he surrounds himself with guys that he knows will get his back, or he doesn't have to have petty shots back and forth with in the media like this.
Yeah.
Great lead,
well,
Sean.
We will get to talk to Gerard Mayo about this very thing coming up at 9:20 this morning right here at Gillette. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Can we do a quick tag team?
Yeah.
I think we may have similar thoughts. I'm asking for the public's help. We need to understand, for the sanctity of our mental health, what the hell is going on with the drones?
Preach.
Thank you, Curtis.
And you know what? I understand that our government, there is many things that the government is engaged with that I have no idea, and I will never know unless I join the CIA. But you can simply say this is a homeland security operation. Nobody is endangered. We are working on things to ensure the safety of all Americans against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Period. End of story. You could say anything, but to say it's nothing, which is what John Kirby did, we played the audio last week, which is what Mayorkas did over the weekend, I think he's the head of the Homeland Security.
Secretary. Yeah.
Like, I sit here today, and I'm like, should I get James out of Boston? Should we move to a... Like, I feel
look
as...
Look at Courtney.
It's no, I... And the people online that are like, oh, God, thank God. I think that the government is just looking for dirty bombs. It's not aliens. What?
Right. But that's now the most...
The aliens.
That's
like,
the
what
most
are we
popular.
Talking about?
My lead, we can still get to it later.
Yeah, we'll get to yours.
It was going to be the emergency top five conspiracy theories.
Perfect.
That are, but we can... I mean...
I just have a simple question to everybody out there. You know, the Patriots, rough game. But, like, are we in an existential threat right now?
The dirty bomb one is scary.
Terrifying.
Like, and the fact that it's the East Coast, or in some cases they're also saying they're seeing them on the West Coast, but it's coastal areas because they think that's how it would have been brought in, and all of them are terrifying. Like, even UFOs are terrifying. UFOs, space people, terrifying. Iranian mothership, terrifying. It's all terrifying.
Yeah, aliens ain't as bad as nuclear bombs. And I like the fact, I'm kind of with it where they're like, oh, we don't really know what it is. Because once you start saying that it could be like nuclear related, or
you don't
where
want them, you don't want them to. But don't you want them to at least tell you that it's our drones?
Yes.
Yeah, I want them to kind of have me thinking like, because if you have some people thinking it's aliens, they're gonna be like, oh, it's no big deal. But once you start thinking like, oh, could be like they're looking for like nuclear bombs up and down the coastlines.
And Greg's sitting here talking to me before the show. He's like, yeah, they're probably one in like a truck or a boat. I'm like, a boat. I live on the coast.
Mayorkas yesterday on Face the Nation or whatever was saying that they relaxed the rules about flying drones at night, and there are thousands of people who have drones, so it's probably just regular people that are flying their drones at night now.
I find it so offensive how little the government thinks of me. Like, you really think I'm that stupid? I live right by Logan. It's a no-drone zone.
Yeah.
I know what drones are. These things that are in the sky are not, like, random battery-operated things in a backyard.
Yeah. All right, great lead, Curtis.
Thank you.
We will continue with the rest of this morning's leads next.